Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's a pleasure to be with you for the worship of God. Our scripture is in Colossians 3, the first four verses, and then jumping to verse 12 for three more verses. Paul writes this: "Since you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Seek the things that are above, not the things that are on earth, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you too will appear with him in glory." And then Paul counsels that we put to death anger, wrath, slander, all kinds of vices. And then verse 12, "As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity." As God's chosen people, clothe yourselves with patience. And the Lord knows we need it. Every day brings a little array of things that try our patience. You buy something that needs to be assembled and the instructions don't make any sense. You're out for a round of golf and you hit your first long straight drive of the day, and when you get to where the ball should be lying, it's not there. You toss 16 socks into a clothes dryer and you get 15 back. Where do those single socks go, do you think? The late Irma Bombeck speculated that single socks lost in clothes dryers go to heaven, where they meet other singles and mate. But she never cited any scripture. As God's chosen people, clothe yourselves with patience. When we are clothed with patience, we can absorb nuisances. We can absorb them without fussing over them. We can absorb nuisances the way a good cotton shirt will absorb a few stray drops from a sprinkler. And persons who annoy us, we have to absorb too. Some of them are strangers, pokey drivers in the left lane, people who let their dog bark all night, person in the 12-item express lane in the supermarket who's actually got 19 items. Strangers try our patience in all kinds of little ways, but they are no match for members of our own family. The paradigm cases of annoyance are all domestic. "When two human beings have lived together for a while," said C.S. Lewis, "it usually happens that each one of them has facial expressions or tones of voice that are almost unendurable to the other." And I think we understand. It's not that your family member does anything wrong necessarily, it's just that once in a while she raises one eyebrow in a way that drives you nuts. It's not that your family member does anything wrong, necessarily, but it's just that every so often his voice starts to sound like a bearing that's ready to go. As God's chosen people, clothe yourselves with patience. We need this piece of clothing. We need patience to absorb the little drizzles of acid rain, the ordinary fallout of working and living together. We need patience in order to manage annoyances and the low-level irritations they generate. One of the things that has come home to me in recent years is that so much of good spiritual hygiene has to do with anger management. Have you ever noticed that when St. Paul wants to describe life outside of Christ, he so often describes angry life? What's life out there outside of Christ like? Paul says you find anger, wrath, slander, abusive talk. You find envy, quarreling, hostility, factions, strife. You find war and rumor of war. You find split churches, split marriages, split families, split friendships. Everybody is so angry. That's life outside of Christ. And some of that life is in our homes and in our churches. It's angry life, angry politics, angry sports, vengeful movies, angry talk shows, music with an attitude. It's hired guns with law degrees, bright people who went to law school because they are permanently teed off and they want somebody to license their anger. Put it away, says St. Paul. Put it to death. Take off all those angry old clothes and put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. As God's chosen people, clothe yourselves with patience. Why? Because patience is a piece of clothing that fits people who have been raised with Christ. Patience is part of the family uniform of the people of God. And we all know what it means. Patience means anger control. It means having a long fuse and a short memory where grievances are concerned. Patient people are hard to provoke. They can take a lot before they lose it. And Paul's word for patience here is instructive. Paul's word is macrothumia. Patience is macrothumia, which means having a very large capacity for absorbing irritants without getting paralyzed by them. It's exactly like having good motor oil. Good motor oil does not remove contaminants. It puts them into suspension so they can't wreck your motor. Patient Christians have a huge crankcase. They can put all kinds of irritants into suspension without getting paralyzed by them. I think it's important to add that Christian people aren't necessarily naive and they aren't stoic. They do get indignant at abuse, at injustice, and they should. It's sometimes right to be angry. Good people can be good and angry. If your child is abused, or your Savior is slandered, or your spouse insulted, or your God is blasphemed, we ought to be indignant. Somebody cheats you out of your good reputation, you have a right to be pretty angry about it. Righteous anger, said my teacher Lou Smeeds, righteous anger is the executive power of human decency. We ought to worry about people who are never indignant. But we're going to need patience even for these bigger angers. Nuisances can go into our crankcase and we can forget about them, but big angers have to go there too for a while. And the reason is that if we have been seriously offended, we're going to have to figure out the right way to respond. Maybe we will have to rebuke the offender, but rebuke is delicate surgery, and you can't do rebuke when your hands are shaking with anger. Same goes for forgiveness. You may, at some point, by the grace of God, be able to forgive a person who's hurt you, but it's likely to take time. And when the day comes that God enables you to drop the anger you have a right to, if you are a patient Christian, you're going to find your anger in your crankcase where you have stowed it until the day of grace. Maybe your righteous anger will prompt you to seek justice. But justice takes time, and it takes cool heads. That's why we have all those rules in court, you know, a time to stand up and a time to sit down, a time to speak and a time to keep still. A protocol for even approaching the bench. The idea is that everybody's anger has to go into suspension for a while so the wheels of justice can turn. I often think of this in connection with the film To Kill a Mockingbird, 1962 film. Gregory Peck plays Atticus Finch, a stalwart attorney of clean hands and a pure heart. There's a place toward the end of the film that often comes to my mind. Atticus Finch has just done his best in the courtroom for Tom Robinson, a black man falsely accused of rape in a small Alabama town in the 1930s. Atticus Finch is passionate, and he's eloquent about Tom Robinson's innocence, and he's right about it, but a racist jury convicts Tom anyway. And then at the end, all the white people are sitting on the main floor. All of Tom Robinson's friends and church members are up in the balcony. At the end, Atticus Finch alone is on the main floor. He's putting his papers together, putting them in his briefcase. And all the black people in the balcony refuse to leave until Atticus leaves. And at one point, Atticus has two kids, Jem and Jean Louise, also called Scout. The minister of Tom Robinson has these two kids of Atticus Finch at his feet. And as Atticus turns and starts walking down the main center row of the courtroom, the minister says to Atticus's kids, "Stand up. Stand up, Miss Jean Louise. Your father is passing." Now, what was it about Atticus Finch? He was just. He was kind. But what you can see in the courtroom is the strength of his patience. Can you picture Atticus Finch in that courtroom? He is angry. His client has been unjustly accused, and Atticus's job is to battle this injustice. You can see his indignation. You can see it in the way the muscles move under his skin. You can see it in his body language. You can hear it in his voice when he addresses the jury and says to them, "In the name of God, do your duty." But he's got to keep a governor on his anger. He can't let it overcome him because he has a job to do. He's got a job to try to stop injustice in that courtroom. And so in every one of his movements, you can see his patience at work. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with patience. Spiritually mature Christians are not doormats. They know what it is to be angry, but they also know a lot about anger control because they are as patient as Atticus Finch, which means they are very strong people. Patience takes enormous spiritual muscle. Now, all the virtues are both God's gift and also our calling. Patience is one of the fruit of the Spirit, but it's also something we are commanded to clothe ourselves with. How do you get it? Well, four things in 4 minutes, and then this sermon will blow over. First, We can look at annoying people with the eye of imaginative love. You get behind a pokey driver in the left lane. Instead of trying to punish this person by pushing on him, what you do is to deliberately imagine him as somebody's grandfather. If not now, then eventually. A good grandfather, one of the really good ones. And of course, you don't tailgate people's grandfathers. You protect them. You let them do their errands. Love is patient, and love is kind. And one reason is that love is imaginative. Second, we can set our hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. This means enlarging our perspective, enlarging our frame in which we look out at the world. God's kingdom is going to come. God's will is going to happen on earth as it is in heaven. In that big frame, a traffic delay simply doesn't matter. The same goes for snubs, for the crankiness of kids, or for the irritating habits of a friend. These things are all like lost golf balls. At the end of the day, they really don't matter. As for the big injustices, the offenses against our personhood, against our dignity, they do matter. They matter a lot. And maybe we will rebuke them. Maybe we will forgive them. Maybe we will seek justice for them, and maybe we will get justice, but maybe not. Maybe not until Judgment Day. And meanwhile, we need a place to put our anger. What we really have when an offense has not been justly resolved, what we really have is two things. We have the Psalms of Lament, and we have patience. Third, we can apprentice ourselves to patient people. There are some around. Every church has some, people with great big crankcases. We can watch them. We can listen to them. We can learn some patient moves from them. If you have ever been dealt with by a truly patient Christian, you never forget. This is a person who may be indignant with you, but has put indignation into suspension. This is a person who looks past whatever is annoying about you and looks for your heart, which belongs to Jesus Christ, and which they love. And what happens, of course, is that you start to flourish. You start to grow up into their view of you. You rise to become the person this patient other person sees in you. We can apprentice ourselves to patient Christians. Learning a virtue is just like learning to play the piano. You need a teacher, and you need to practice. Fourth and finally, patience is part of the uniform of Jesus Christ, which means that we are going to look to him, the author, the pioneer of our faith. And what do we see when we look at the patience of Christ? We see Jesus Christ on his way to his death, carrying his own cross. We see Jesus Christ absorbing into himself not just nuisances, but all the evils of a whole world, taking them into himself without passing them back, and so cutting the loop of vengeance that has always circled down the ages. When we look at Jesus Christ, we can see that our nuisances are not cross-sized. Our big injustices are cross-sized, but they have been absorbed by our Savior, and we can let them go. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with patience. Patience fits people who have been risen, who have been raised with Christ. Patience is part of the family uniform of the people of God. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. O Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us sinners. O Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us sinners and grant us peace and patience for your own name's sake. Amen.